Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
What's up, Rick?
Oh, not much. Discord sounded great. I actually heard most of the intro this time. It's awesome.
Wow, nice. Well, I shut down all the computers in the house, so you've got my full bandwidth on this one machine right now.
Oh, give me your full bandwidth, Holmes.
You got all 1.5 megs, megabots Woo-hoo. Per second, whatever the hell they measure that as. You got the full thing.
What is this, 2005?
No, 2000. Well, I'm trying to think, what was I rocking? It was probably about the same internet speed in 2005 that I had. Was I living out there in the boondocks?
I don't remember. I don't know. When I got the internet first set up at DSL, that's about what I was rocking, playing Halo 2 on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You could play Halo 2 back then with that.
That's old school.
That is old school.
Well, let's get out of the old school. What's going on in the new school, Hans?
Price-wise, you were talking about this earlier. We've still, after what you call the Biden bump, what'd you say we reached out to there? What was that?
I would say it was a Biden bump, just because everybody was paranoid, including me, and it wasn't that bad.
Yep. Yeah. At that time, too, it looks like we hit a high of 42,597. So this past week, and we've hit a low of 37,560. So, I mean, we seem to be pretty range-bound when we look at the past month. So, here's something interesting. 1 year ago today, do you know what price we were at?
About the same price?
About 65,000 is when we hit 65,000 was a year ago today.
Really?
Yep.
Man. Yeah, I try not to look back that far.
Yeah, 1 year ago.
1 year ago, man. If you would have bought at the peak in March... you're still hurting.
Yeah.
You would have had just a little bit of green zone in November, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were going to get out at that point, that would have been the time to do it. There was a lot of FUD, I guess the way to put it. Those that don't know what FUD is, it is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. There's a lot of FUD going on after, you know, going into Biden's thing, there was a lot of FUD. Coming out of Biden's thing, and then the EU had a vote from the Economics Committee basically talking about banning proof-of-work type mining, which effectively would have banned Bitcoin in the EU. That was going into a vote as of today, and that got shut down.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was going up for a vote, and people were saying that it was going to be too close to call which direction it was going to go. So I was pleasantly surprised when you texted me earlier today.
Yeah, I'd been kind of keeping tabs on it because I knew that was kind of like the next big hurdle. Some of the high points, the EU Con Committee voted on Monday to remove a section relating to de facto ban on Bitcoin mining on the continent. The provision was part of the MICA rules, the EU draft legislation to regulate Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies that passed on Monday's voting session. An alternate amendment on proof of work passed, adding Bitcoin mining to the EU sustainable finance taxonomy. Basically, I mean, the important thing here is that they were going to try and ban it for environmental reasons, right? And Clear Heads prevailed and pushed it through. They said, you know, basically they said the same thing that Biden said. They want to be neutral in the whole thing with this new technology that's coming out. And they want to allow it to thrive. So they don't want to, you don't want to throw the baby out with the water, you know? I think that was a pretty big win. Cause I mean, now that's just green lights across the board that we've been getting.
No, that's the thing. It's been green lights, like you said, but sideways action at best. It's been going down really since last week.
Well, and part of that could be, you know, the macro environment of the world right now. I mean, when you look at everything that's taking place, I think I guess the best way to put it is like the old school money, right? That are like the only safe haven during these types of things is gold. And right now, you know, Bitcoin is still acting like a risk-on asset, where it's still following like the traditional asset classes rather than being a commodity as it should be treated, you know, where it's actually finite in its limited supply. So I don't know. It's going to be, you're going to have to see that transition. I mean, the interesting thing though, is that as the S&Ps continue to kind of drop down, Bitcoin is kind of continued to kind of hold steady. So maybe you're starting to see some of that separation take place, but at the same time, we could still see a pretty big drawdown.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's going to be a little bit longer before it's ever considered an asset. And, you know, that's if assuming that the central bank and all their digital currencies don't try and squash Bitcoin from existence. But, you know, it's going to be a while just on the mindset of regular people that they'll trust it like an asset.
Well, and it's going to have to battle test itself. I mean, given when you look at something that within the past 11 years, you know, has gone from basically pennies to up to 69,000, and even now currently trading at, you know, roughly 38,000 to 40,000. It's not a bad return.
If you would have got in 11 years ago.
There's people that sold their Bitcoin at, you know, whenever the market got shook during the beginning of the pandemic, right? When Bitcoin dropped down to $3,000. There's people that sold and were like, man, I'm buying gold. I'm getting out of this Bitcoin thing now. They sold, you know, maybe 5-10 Bitcoin to buy into gold. And where does that gotten them?
It's got them nowhere.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I'm sure that they are pissed. But, I mean, that's the risk you take, right?
Yeah. And no, that is it.
Go ahead.
It feels like you're reading tea leaves with just all the economic uncertainty that's been happening over the past 2 years. I mean, it's basically the 2-year anniversary of lockdowns.
Yeah.
I know it's been a pretty damn wild ride the past couple of years.
It totally has. And I mean, I think that's the crazy thing about this is that, yeah, basically we hit our peak back in March of last year. Well, we did in November. We went $4,000 over what it hit, but
it held longer in March.
It did. Yeah, it felt like it was just going to keep going. But then I think it was around that time that, and it may not have been too long after that, Elon came out with his energy FUD, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but, and something I did not initially plan on bringing up, but I almost forgot, tomorrow is supposed to be the beginning of El Salvador's volcano bonds. They're supposed to go on the market.
Huh, that'll be interesting.
We'll have to see how that sells, see what's going to happen with that. There was one other thing I was going to bring up that I thought this was just kind of an interesting take. Now, obviously, this is just pure speculation at this point, but this is from a gentleman who posted to one from, or wait, I guess he posted this from one of his clients that he received. And says, you know, he starts it off by saying, I remain distressed by the threat of government regulations and exercise of power as seen recently in Canada. So he listed out like a series of events, and I think you may find this kind of interesting, what he sees kind of as possibly in the future in his tea leaf reading, as it may be. Number one, stock market falls 30% to 90%.
So and basically, what's his time frame on this?
He doesn't have an exact time frame. He says deep recession takes hold. All asset prices initially plunge except gold. Still broadly considered a store of value, especially by the wealthy. Bitcoin declines 30 to 80% as recent owners are most likely uninformed speculators. This is the last best buying opportunity for Bitcoin. Central bank lowers rates to 0% or less than 0% in an attempt to stimulate asset prices. Federal government passes multi-trillion-dollar spending programs to support consumption in the recession. Lower production and more printed U.S. dollar accelerates inflation. Inflation spikes to greater than 15%. Inflation fears ignite the flight from USD. Flight of currency from U.S. banks to combination of loan defaults leads to insolvency and a run on the banks. Mother of all bailouts consists of a greater than $10 trillion loans to banks and freezing of accounts to prevent outflows. The prospect of this government confiscation produces a tsunami of USD and other fiats to convert to Bitcoin to avoid property loss. The USD dollar is destroyed, inflated into insignificance. The federal government uses eminent domain authority to confiscate tax property, including Bitcoin, real estate, and other tangible assets. Tax filing will be required to will require production of a balance sheet rather than a year's income statement. The balance sheet will be taxed. Massive societal disruptions. And then finally, 14, society ultimately reforms with BTC as the world reserve currency.
You know, that kind of sounds plausible. But from that chain of events, one of the most important things that he's showing there is you better not have your money in the banks.
Yep. Yeah, and don't keep your coins on an exchange.
And do not keep your coins on an exchange, because that will all be confiscated.
Yep. Or you won't be able to withdraw or do anything with them.
Yeah, basically. It's either frozen or whatever. You won't have access to it afterwards.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And I mean, we saw that with, I mean, and we saw the exchanges saying that during the whole thing in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Like basically the CEO of Kraken saying, hey, get your stuff off of our exchange. We're not going to be able to stop this. Like, this is a federal mandate. We're going to have to stop it, you know, or I mean, as far as Canada's federal mandate goes, you know, we're going to have to obey what they say to do it within their jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
So, one other thing I want to bring up too was, our friend that we've talked about on the podcast before, Cynthia Loomis, because I haven't brought this up yet, right?
No.
Part of her Bitcoin introduction bill has come on to the stage, and within there, she does want to make sure that there is, an allowance to where you can spend up to $600 per transaction with Bitcoin and not be subject to, capital gains tax, basically.
Yep.
Which is a good thing. I mean, if it's going to be treated as a currency and we're going to use it as such, you need to be able, you shouldn't have to pay a capital gains tax if you buy a burger, plain and simple.
Yeah, or a cup of coffee or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, as the Lightning Network continues to roll out and grows and expands, you should not be subject to a 15% capital gains tax for that kind of action.
Yeah, that'd be pretty brutal.
Agreed, excuse me. And, we need to go into Lightning. What is Lightning? And also the Liquid Networks, apparently, at some point. Like, I don't think we've ever really talked about those, at least not too much.
Yeah. No, I think we should definitely set that aside for a special episode sometime.
Yeah. I mean, high level, just the 30,000 foot level. Lightning Network is basically peer-to-peer transactions that are less than, basically, I think it's supposed to be less than one Bitcoin, pretty much, per transaction. And then the Liquid Network is for institutional investors where they're dealing with a lot more Bitcoin on the table. And those are supposed to be pretty much instantaneous and low-cost transactions that you can do that are off-chain, that are then settled later on-chain.
Yep, which is pretty slick way of handling, you know, the whole blockchain that's, it's gotten a little bit slower with all the dispersion everywhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of transaction volumes that go through, I mean, every Bitcoin block, I want to say there's a new block every 10 minutes, takes a while to settle transactions. So that helps just speed that whole process up for you.
Yep.
That way you're not waiting for a confirmation, because really what you have to do is you have to wait for a confirmation to go through, right? You can broadcast the transaction, but until you get those confirmations, it's not your money yet. It hasn't been transferred to you, so...
Yep, it's not settled.
Right. Absolutely. Not till you get that consensus. And that takes about 10 minutes to get done. So, was there anything major that you said you just went to the gas pump? What was gas today?
Locally, $4.39. I mean, it's been there for a couple of days. I just don't know how long it's going to stay there.
Oil prices have reportedly started to drop a little bit. But I don't know how long that'll last. I don't know if it's short-lived or what's going on with that.
Yeah, I mean, just with as crazy as the world is, I mean, if things get a little bit more heated with Russia and the rest of NATO, I mean, that'll spike up. Yeah. It's just hard to tell what's really coming around the corner. Like I said, it's a wild ride.
Yeah, it's been nuts.
Yeah, trying to read tea leaves in this environment is just, it's pretty crazy. It's almost suicidal. Or you're just into sadomasochism.
Did you hear that, and this is pure speculation, well, somewhat speculation. China or Russia reached out to China for economic and military aid.
I've heard rumors of that.
Yeah.
And kind of wonder if, you know, it's long thought that those two would, you know, likely be allies against the United States and the West. And I think it's kind of accelerating what's happening.
Yeah.
And the one thing about Russia, we know that their economy is small. We've mentioned it before. It's the same size as Italy's GDP, which is, I mean, Italy is a lot smaller country.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that economically, Russia is not particularly strong. You look at China, the way that their growth has been happening on the books, it's basically like Bernie Madoff, except on a huge nationwide level, you know, with a billion people doing cooking the books. So it's kind of hard to tell. You know, they've been fudging their numbers. And even when the coronavirus, they were still claiming in 2020 they had an increase in growth that year. So two paper tigers as it is economically.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting to see where that's going to lie. You got anything else you wanted to add today?
Not really. Just wanted to get one in the can.
I agree. Yeah, and I thought that EU news was pretty big. I mean, regardless of what the price action is doing, I mean, you're seeing an embrace by nation states. You're seeing, I mean, Mexico is supposed to announce sometime this week about the legal tender thing. We'll see if that actually happens this week. I mean, there's so much adoption happening. It's like, what is it going to take for that price to just skyrocket?
I don't know. I think it's going to take a ton of turmoil for it to truly skyrocket.
Yeah.
Which I'm not exactly anxious for.
No, me neither. Me neither. But I hope everybody that's listening to this, that you're safe. We do appreciate your support of this podcast. You can always email us at contact@thebitbypodcast.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, or at least me so far. And then once we get Rick going on something, at the BitBytePod1 on Twitter. So,
absolutely.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.